Last week we talked about the centrality of Jesus, and we talked about the example that Jesus gave us of humility, and so that was a good reminder for us. And Bobby, thank you for reminding us during your talk this morning as well about the centrality of Jesus, because no matter where we've come from, no matter what your church background has been, really as we gather to worship Jesus and to follow him. And this morning we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. There's a kind of a new concept that I think we've only become aware of in the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, but that's the whole concept of somebody being an influencer. If you're at all on the internet or on social media, there are people that are actually called influencers. And they're called influencers because they influence. You can answer back when I ask a question. It's okay. They influence, right? And so a lot of brand names realize that there are some people that have podcasts or an internet presence or a media presence that when they speak, people listen. And so when Taylor Swift, you know, tells her fans to buy Crest toothpaste, I don't know if she does, but if she did, there would be a run on Crest toothpaste. You just know there would be millions of tubes sold because Taylor Swift is an influencer. Or there are podcasts with people that have millions and millions of listeners that influence people, and so they have an important role in today's society. When you talk about politics, there are influencers that if somebody says something, you'll be inclined to agree with them, and you'll repeat what they say. And so influence have this ability to, as their name infers, to influence people. And my question to you as we start this morning is, who are your influencers? Who are the people that you follow? Who are the people that impact the way that you think and the things that you do? Because we all have influencers. I remember growing up in my family, honestly, my parents were huge influences in my life. And so as a child and as I grew through my teens, I watched my parents as they walked through life, and I learned from their example, and I did what they did. And it's kind of funny. We had a family reunion a few years ago, and we went to a local mall, and we were walking through the mall as a family, and I just noticed that we all walked the same. We do. Like when I walk, I walk like my dad walks. We have a very similar gait. Our steps are kind of the same. You could almost identify me by the way I walk, and you'd say, you must be Alex's son because we walk the same. We talk the same. I have a friend of my father that often calls me to get my dad's phone number because he keeps forgetting it, and so he calls me to get my dad's number, but I sound so much like my father on the phone that he thinks I'm him. And so we have this long conversation, and he thinks I'm my dad, and eventually I have to, you know, remind him that, hey, this is Brian. It's not Alex. And I give him my dad's number, but my dad influenced me, even in something simple like that. Some of it's genetics, but my parents were an influence on me. So I ask you this morning, who do you follow? Who is your influencer? And I would suggest this morning that those that influence you and who you choose to follow makes a big difference in your life. Those influencers, they really affect the way that you think, the things that you do. And that can be a positive or that can be a negative. But it's important for us to stop and think about who influences us. And I would recommend this morning that Jesus needs to be our main influencer. And we're beginning a series on discipleship and what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And so we're going to look at this for a few minutes this morning to kind of set a bit of a foundation for what it means to follow Jesus. We know Jesus. Every week we sing about Jesus. We read about Jesus. We know who Jesus is. But what does it mean to actually follow Jesus? You know, in the Old Testament, especially, or in biblical times, and even as Jesus came on the scene, the most important influencers at that time were the rabbis. The rabbis were incredible influencers. They were the ultimate influencers of youth and people in Israel. People cared what the rabbis had to say. And as young boys in Israel, even from the age of 7 and 8, they would go to the synagogue. every Saturday morning, and often several times through the week. And they would sit under a rabbi's teaching, and even as young children, they would memorize the first five books of the Old Testament. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They would memorize all five books of the Old Testament, even by the age of 7 or 8. And at that point, they would often, that was called Beit Sefer. If they got through that process and they were still wanting to follow the teachings of that rabbi, they would move on to Beit Talmud, and they would memorize the entire Old Testament. Can you imagine? From Genesis to Malachi, the whole thing, they would memorize it. And they were so committed to those teachings and to the scriptures that they would memorize those words. And they were really the best of the best. And as they went through that process, the rabbis would be kind of watching over them. And they would have spent, by this time, they would be 10, 11, 12 years old, spending all those years with that rabbi, being influenced by his teaching, being influenced by the scriptures that they had memorized. And some of them at that point would say, you know what, this is a little too heavy for me. And they would go on to take on their family business. They would become fishermen, carpenters. They would move into whatever their family had done, and they would begin to take on responsibilities within their family, making money, taking care of their household. That's what they would do. But the best of the best of the best would move on to Beit Midrash. And this is where they would actually apply to become a disciple or a follower of a rabbi. And so they would literally apply to a rabbi to say, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And so they would apply, and the rabbis would go through those applications, and they would bring these young men in, and they would grill them with questions about their life, about faith, about what they believed. And the rabbi wanted to see, does this young guy have what it takes to be my disciple, to be a follower of me? Can this young man take on that responsibility? And often they would say that this would be called taking on the yoke of the rabbi, taking on all of his teachings, taking on his life, doing what he does. And these disciples, once they were taken on as a disciple of a rabbi, they would spend years following him around. And they would do what he did. They would continue to learn from him. They would take his yoke upon them. And his teaching would become their teaching. His way of life would become their way of life. And they would follow him so closely. They would devote their lives to being just like their rabbi. That was their goal. And so there was a rabbinic blessing that was said back in those days that said, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." That means that as they walked the dusty roads of Israel, they would be walking so closely to the rabbi that they would be covered in his dust. And that's just an amazing picture to me of how close they were willing to follow that rabbi. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus began to choose his disciples. And Jesus came kind of alone, and he would walk through Jerusalem and the villages, and he would identify his disciples. And he would call them to follow him. But these were not the best of the best of the best. They would have gone through the early stages of education in the synagogue. But most of them had decided to move on with their family business. No rabbi had said, "I want you to follow me." And so these men that Jesus was choosing, he was choosing them because he saw something special in them. He identified something in them that said they could be his follower. And it was an amazing thing to read. Jesus saw something special in them. And so as we read through the New Testament, we see several examples of Jesus choosing his disciples. And I think I mentioned last week the series The Chosen. Really, it's a great visualization, a great dramatization of Jesus walking around Israel, choosing one by one his disciples. In Luke chapter 5, we won't look there this morning, but in Luke chapter 5, we find Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon Peter and James and John out fishing in their boats, and they've been fishing all night. They haven't caught anything, And as they're coming back into shore, Jesus sees them. He says, hey guys, he said, go out again and cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And they're like, we're the professionals here, whoever you are. They didn't know who Jesus was. They said, we're the fishermen. We know what we're doing. We've been all night. We haven't caught anything. Jesus said, just trust me. Cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And so they do. They go out. They cast their nets on the other side of the boat. They catch so many fish, the boat can't contain them all. They come back in amazed, wondering who this guy is. And they realize that this isn't just any guy, that this is Jesus. And Jesus issues this challenge. He says to Simon, he said, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They left everything and followed him. Jesus challenged them to follow him. He said, you guys can be my disciples. I will be your rabbi. You can imagine, they had been passed over by other rabbis, but now there's a rabbi that believes in them, that believes that they have what it takes to follow him, to take on his yoke, to learn from him, to live his life, to follow his example. And it says they left everything and they followed him. They walked away from the family business. They left their nets and their boats and they followed him. This rabbi called them because he saw something in them that was special. And this makes Jesus really, really unique as a rabbi. Because he chose these men to follow him. It's amazing. And then in Luke chapter 5, we read this, that the Jesus, after this, he went out, and he saw a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Imagine. Matthew is a tax collector. Anybody like the tax collector? Most of us don't. They were even less popular in Jesus' day because the tax collectors were employed by the Romans, and the Romans were this oppressive force over Israel. So nobody liked the tax collectors. But the tax collectors were obviously wealthy. They were often skimming money for themselves as well. And so here's Matthew sitting at his tax collecting booth. He's got a line of people lined up to pay their taxes, grumbling all the way. And Jesus comes along and he sees Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Then he says, follow me. Two words, follow me. And at once, Matthew reaches up and flips the close sign on his tax collector booth and he pulls down the blind, closes the cash drawer, walks out the door, locks it behind him, leaves everything behind, and rose and followed him. Again, Matthew would have been raised as a Jewish boy. He would have gone to synagogue. He would have memorized the Pentateuch at least, but had probably given up on ever being asked to become a disciple of a rabbi. So he just went on with his business and became a tax collector. But Jesus saw something in Matthew. And he said, follow me. And just like Simon Peter and James and John, he dropped everything, left everything to follow Jesus. And that's incredible to me. And it raises the question about us. And you know, how do we follow Jesus when we hear that call to follow him, when we hear that voice of Jesus in our heart saying, follow me? I mean, does it mean you have to leave your job and leave everything and follow him? I don't recommend that. Don't accept Jesus and then quit your job. Don't do that. But for us today, we follow Jesus. We stay where we are. We don't leave our job, right? It's not quite the same as it was in Jesus' day with him being our rabbi. But we follow Jesus in a completely different way where we follow him within the life that we live. And so we take his yoke upon us. We take his teachings upon us. And that's what we do. We follow him. Now, it involves some sacrifice. In Matthew 16, it says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me or follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So if you and I would follow Jesus, if we would come after him and follow him, we have to deny ourselves. We have to submit ourselves to Jesus' authority and his teaching, just like these young boys would have submitted themselves to the teaching of their rabbi. You and I submit ourselves to the teaching of Jesus, and we come after him and we follow him. Well, what does that mean? It means taking on the priorities of Jesus in my life. So the things that were important to Jesus become important to me. Just like the disciples followed Jesus and learned from his example as he walked around Israel and as he performed miracles and as he helped the poor and as he healed the sick, as he preached all those life lessons about how to live in the world, we take all those teachings upon us and we learn from him. It's amazing, after Matthew decided to follow Jesus, the very first thing he did in Matthew 5:29 is to throw a party. It says, Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. Threw a party. When he followed Jesus, he wanted everybody to know that he was now a follower of this rabbi Jesus, and so he invites all of his friends. How many friends did a tax collector have? Not many, but who were they? They were other tax collectors, right? They were people that were probably of ill repute in the community. And he gathered them all together, a large company, it says, and they had a feast at their house. And I love the way they had feasts in Bible times. They would recline at tables. We sit at tables nice and politely with our knife and our fork. They recline. I tried to talk my wife into redesigning our kitchen so we could have a reclining table to eat. And they just kind of lean on one arm and just kind of feed the grapes in and just kind of eat. Sounds kind of good to me. However, that's how they eat. They sat on the floor, a low table, and they would share food. And so they're having this big party. Matthew wanted all of his friends to meet his new rabbi. And so Jesus is there with them. They're enjoying this celebration together. Jesus probably had the opportunity to share and to talk, and people could be amazed by his teachings. We don't know what was said at that feast, but I'm sure it was amazing. And as they're having this feast together, it says that the Pharisees and their scribes were watching. And that's kind of what they did. I mean, the party was going on in this probably a courtyard, and the Pharisees and scribes are sitting. They weren't invited, probably. So they were on the outside looking in. And it says that they grumbled to the disciples, saying, Why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors? And Jesus said this amazing thing. We won't dwell on it too much this morning, but Jesus answered, said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is saying, I'm a different kind of rabbi. You know, these rabbis were looking at Matthew and these other disciples following Jesus, and they're saying, this is not legit. This isn't the way you call a disciple. And this is not what a rabbi does. A rabbi does not eat with tax collectors. What kind of example are you setting for your disciples? Jesus was setting the exact example that he wanted to set for his disciples. That he had come to be with these people, these sinners. That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to call perfect people. Aren't you glad? I mean, I wouldn't have been able to follow any rabbi in Israel. But I think, and I hope, that as Jesus looks at me, he would say to me, Brian, follow me. I see something in you that you could be my follower. And Jesus would look at each of you this morning, and he would say, follow me. Follow me. Learn from me. Follow my example. You can do this. Jesus was a different kind of rabbi, and he was calling a different kind of disciple. But he looks at each of us, and he says, you can be my follower. You can be my follower. So what does this mean for us as we wrap this up this morning? Well, first of all, it's never too late to become a follower of Jesus. It's never too late to become a follower of Jesus. And you need to examine your own life and heart to see how that works for you, what it means for you to follow Jesus in your context, in your world. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I mean, lately I've been so convicted by the fact that I want to be a follower of Jesus that really follows Jesus' teaching. And so as I read through the New Testament, I mean, all of Scripture is inspired. All of Scripture is God's Word. But I've become intrigued lately by the red letters. I don't know if they do it so much anymore, but you used to get Bibles with red letters. So the red letters were Jesus' words, right? So when Jesus spoke, those words were in red. It's all inspired. We know that. But the red letters, the actual things that Jesus taught and Jesus said, I want that to be what I take upon my life. I want to learn what Jesus said and what he called me to do, and I want to do that. So, you know, in the Beatitudes, as Jesus would teach and as he would preach, he often said, you know, you have heard it said. This is a kind of a current example for us. He said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So, you know, when you and I look at justice in our world and punishment, we would say, yeah, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So you cut off my arm, I'll cut off your arm. You know, you take a life, you lose your life. But Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Jesus lived a whole different way, and I've just become so convicted that you and I, if we were to live like Jesus in the world that we live in, that would change the world. You're not going to change the world by laying down the law, but you're going to change the world by living like Jesus and loving like Jesus and following Jesus and following his way. Jesus wants you as a disciple. Jesus says to each of you and to me, he says to us, he says, follow me. He wants to be your teacher. He wants to be your role model. Jesus wants to be your influencer as you walk through life. And I believe that you and I can change the world just like his disciples would do. They didn't know at the time what was going to happen. They did not know that in the next 20 to 30 years they would literally take Jesus' teaching around the world. But they would. And it would change the world forever. And so Jesus looks at us and he challenges us to follow him, to be his disciple. I love what he says in Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that sound good? He says, follow me, all you who labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He challenges us. You follow me. Let me be your rabbi. Take my yoke. Take my teachings upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus doesn't crack a whip and demand obedience. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Like we saw last week, Jesus is humble. It's a different kind of rabbi. And he's looking for a different kind of disciple. But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. You're not going to find a cruel taskmaster who demands things from you. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Who of us don't need rest for our souls? Isn't the world hard enough as it is? You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you were a rabbi or you were a disciple of a traditional rabbi in Israel, their yokes were not easy. There were 489 laws and regulations in the Old Testament that they had to follow. Can you imagine living under those kind of rules and regulations, always wondering minute by minute, am I breaking a law? Am I going to be punished? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. Follow me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We can talk about Jesus. We can sing about Jesus. We worship Jesus, of course. But are we really followers of Jesus? When people look at us, do they see the dust of our rabbi on us? Do they look at us and say, man, she looks a lot like Jesus, or he looks a lot like Jesus? You know, he really loves me the way Jesus loves. He forgives the way Jesus forgives. He talks to his wife and his kids like Jesus might talk to his wife and his kids, with love, with patience. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you've taken the yoke of Jesus' teachings upon you and you're applying it to your life every day, and you're doing your best to love your neighbors like Jesus did. I mean, that was the hallmark of his ministry, how he took care of the poor, how he loved those around him. It's amazing. That's the kind of follower that Jesus calls us to be. So my challenge is pretty simple this morning. As you follow Jesus, will you allow him to be your influencer? Will you allow him to be your rabbi? Will you follow him? Will you leave all of your own priorities behind to say yes, to follow him? As you walk through your life every day, I mean, I love getting up in the morning now. My routine's a bit different with my medications and everything, so I'm on a clock, so I got to get up at a certain time in the morning. I got to take my meds, and there's about a 15-minute period of time where I really can't move around a lot, and I'm just kind of sitting. And now instead of just sitting there, I kind of take those 15 minutes just to kind of reflect on my day. And those have become prayer times for me where I can be with Jesus. My wife has gone to work by then, and so the house is quiet. And I can reflect on God's blessings in my life, and I can reflect on what I've got coming up during the day, and I can consciously ask myself, what would Jesus have me do today, and how can I follow him? How can I honor him? How can I take his yoke upon me? How can I practice what he taught me and what he's teaching me? That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's not an onerous thing. I don't keep a notebook. I'm not keeping a scorecard. And he's not either. Jesus is not going to grade you on how you did today. Did you follow me? Did you keep all my rules? He's not cracking a whip. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Just as you walk day by day, minute by minute through your day, follow Jesus. Follow his teachings. Be his disciple. Be his follower. Let him be your first influencer in life. So when you hear a story on the news and you're tempted to get anxious and angry even, stop. And say, how would Jesus hear this? And how would Jesus respond? And do that. It's kind of revolutionary when you think about it. But if we were truly a group of people who followed Jesus, man, what a difference that would make in our world and in our communities and in our families.